Red ICU and the Zendy Miles on UJFM. Oh yeah, that's the title. 13 minutes after 7 on the clock. Before that one came, you BB Rex with the Sabotage. Good morning, if you've just joined us. This is the UJFM Breakfast Show. And right now, we are joined by our Vice Chancellor, Professor George Nsokambedi. This is the August edition of the MyVC and iRadio series. Good morning, Prof. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, good morning, Kamalele. It's great to be here. Hey, Ren, how are you doing? Good to see you again. Is everything okay?
Yes, Prof. We're living life for the time.
Yeah, life goes on.
Yes. So, before we begin, Prof, I'd just like to say congratulations. And this comes from all of us for the honorary doctors from the Pocosis University.
Thank you.
A big, big shout out to you, Prof, for that achievement.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Prof, my question is this. With the many achievements and awards that you've received, what did this achievement mean?
I think a lot. You know, to be honest with you, I had a dream of getting an honorary doctorate. I thought I'll get it when I'm retired at my village, you know, and farming, and it came as a surprise. But, you know, for me, it means a lot, you know, and it's not just for me, it's also for the UJ family, because one can achieve these things alone. You know? So I'm grateful for your support. You know, and yeah, the support of the entire UJ community.
We're very proud. You are. Now, there's quite a significant agreement that you signed with the Youth Employment Services, in short, YES, to help mitigate unemployment.
Yeah.
I would like to know, how would this deal work if you are at liberty to say, and will it benefit UJ students, or how will they benefit from this?
Yeah, thanks for the question. This is a partnership. You know, as you know, I always say, as UJ, we do not only want to graduate job seekers, we also want to graduate job creators. And this is a golden opportunity for us to partner with such a great organization to empower our students, to empower our youth. So through YES, you know, there will be opportunities for UJ students to be placed at big organizations, you know, to get additional skills that would make them even more employable, but also give them an opportunity to create jobs. So it's exciting for us. But, you know, as UJ, we are not only teachers, we are also givers. As part of this partnership, the youth can enroll with us and take some of our open online courses, such as those dealing with entrepreneurship and artificial intelligence in the fourth industrial revolution.
So it's not just for UJ students only?
Not at all.
Wow.
It's, you know, youth unemployment is a big problem in our country, and through this we hope we can make a difference.
Definitely, definitely. Now, speaking to technology, I know that we've had this talk before. We speak about embracing technology, embracing ChatGPT, which is ultimately a good thing. But currently, what I've personally sort of noted is that students become too dependent on the app. And it's just to the point that if nothing is actually done, the assessments, the project will be carried out by the AI. So, I want to know, how is UJ trying to keep up? Have we tried to improve our AI detecting algorithms for these academic purposes?
Yeah. UJ, when this ChatGPT came out, already started engaging, you know, with the UJ community through various platforms in the teaching, learning, and research spaces. And we've already developed a so-called practice note in terms of how we should deal with this. As the university say, we're going to embrace this, but it must be used ethically. And we're in the process of updating our plagiarism policies. We say if people use this, you know, this technology such as ChatGPT, they must use them ethically. And sometimes people do things because they don't know what is the right way or the wrong way. So the aim is to guide and make sure that people know what they're getting themselves into. They must give credit where it is due. As I said, our plagiarism policies are updated, and I would urge those that use this to use this ethically so they don't find themselves, you know, on the wrong side of our policies, because then if they plagiarize or they don't give credit where it is due, then they'll be in trouble. They will definitely get caught. I'm sure you also read about a case recently overseas and recently in South Africa where some lawyers used this you know, and they cited wrong cases and they are in trouble. Mm. So there's no shortcut, you know, to success.
And speaking of ethics, Prof, I saw Santa Claus.
Yes. Did you get a copy?
I got cookies and milk.
No, Santa Claus, the book.
Yes, I'm just taking it to the traditional Santa Claus. But yeah, Santa Claus is a book. It is by Professor Lofoy R. and the Decolonization and COVID-19. Those are all the topics it sort of encompasses. And the chapter specifically is titled At Santa, FYI, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I found that to be very interesting and catchy.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so we see Santa Claus. From Santa Claus, we write into Santa Claus to say, hi Santa, FYI, Black Lives Matter.
That's right.
That was really, really catchy to me, I must say.
Yeah.
So I read the chapter, and I don't know if I understood it well.
Yeah.
But according to my understanding, it was sort of a plea for the West to acknowledge the indifference or ignorance even towards the African narratives.
Yeah.
Was that the intention?
Yeah, definitely, you know. As you recall, I talk about this character called Black Pete, you know.
Yes.
In Europe, when some European countries, Santa walks around with an assistant carrying a bag, and this guy smears himself with some black stuff on his face and walk around, you know, and so on. And that has got painful history. Actually, it's a divisive character that some countries like the Netherlands, they basically say, no, this is part of our folklore. Leave us alone, and some say this is hurtful, gives us bad memories. So it was just to shine the spotlight on this issue.
Mm. Yeah. I myself had no knowledge of this character's existence until I read your book. Honestly, that's the truth. I did, afterwards.
Yeah.
So I want to know, why do you think that this figure is still even celebrated? Why is this something, why is it a conversation we're still having today?
Yeah. Look, I had a chat with a number of my colleagues in Europe. When they read the chapter, you know, some said, ah, you're sensitive, and some said, no. But the point you're making is valid. So many of them grew up with this character.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of, you know, it's part of their, you know, youth or when they were children, let me put it that way. It's a character they grew up with. So it's part and parcel of their culture. It's like where I come from, you know, during the December holidays, so we've got the so-called the group of, do you know the group of festival?
No.
It's like marching bands, but people act like soldiers.
Mm.
I started when men came from the war, they had surplus uniform and they would march like a, you must Google it.
But this was a religious thing here.
It's not religious. It's part of that festive season, so this is their culture, we have to use like it. But, you know, we should be selective in terms of this cultural practices, especially those that, you know, are hateful, you know, we should discard them. Of course, white people.
Definitely. That is our conversation with the Vice Chancellor. When we come back, we are speaking Women's Day. What the holiday means to the professor. Here's you, the DJ, Reese Lavista Amakuta. It's Lou the DJ, Reese Madisa, and Zuma on UJFM. I'm Apuza. It's 25 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the UJFM Breakfast Show, and we are having a conversation with the professor and the vice chancellor, and that is Professor George Lokyokampedi. That is our vice chancellor, and this is the oldest edition of the My DCNI series. So we have these once at least in 3 months, and yes, these are just conversations that he has with us. So, Prof, tomorrow is Women's Day, right? And we celebrate our mothers, our aunts, sisters, and wives.
Yeah. All our girlfriends. Mostly our girlfriends.
So, I would like to know, Prof, what does Women's Month mean to you, and why is it essential even that we celebrate and recognize the achievements or contributions of women in society?
Yeah. You want to leave me out of the conversation, you know. Look, this you know, at UJ we celebrate Women's Month, not only Women's Day, so we've got a number of initiatives planned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for us, you know, it's an opportunity to reflect on what we have achieved as a country, as a nation, and also what we have not yet achieved.
Mm.
And what needs to be done going forward. Obviously, there have been great things that have been done. I mean, take UJ, we've grown in terms of, you know, women in leadership positions.
Mm.
We've grown in terms of the number of female academics. But is it enough? It's not enough. There is scope to do more. So for us, you know, it's about, it's an opportunity to reflect.
Mm.
But I also argue that we should not just have Women's Month and Women's Day. We must make every day a Women's Day. We must make every month a Women's Month. Every year a Women's Year.
Mm.
Because there is so much still to be done.
Indeed, indeed. So I like the fact that you said this is an opportunity to reflect more than anything. And I think beyond just progress that's been made, it's also an opportunity to sort of identify areas where there still needs to be work done. And I want to know, in your opinion, what are the most pressing issues that you feel still need attention to further advance gender equality?
Yeah. Look, the most pressing, as far as I'm concerned, yes, there are lots of challenges, but the most pressing is this gender-based violence that we're seeing today. Really, really, we need to do something with that. Look, jobs, opportunities, and positions are important. I'm not saying they're not important, but you can't be a CEO if you are dead. You know, you can't be or do a good a job, or, you know, while you are maimed, you don't have eyes because a man beat you up. And so we need to deal with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, I'm speaking to men, boys, men, you know. We have to really tackle this issue of gender-based violence. It's not cool.
Mm. Yes, Prof. It is indeed just a scourge that our country is faced with. So now, in a recent opinion piece that you penned with Ms. Delofan Fiale, it's titled Rethink Our World to Achieve Equality for Women. And in it, you go through the significant struggles in time that we faced, beginning with the 1956 protests. So I want to know, how can men play an active role in actually advocating for gender equality and just supporting women's rights? And as you said, not just during Women's Month, but actually throughout the year.
Yeah, I like it, you know. I like the question you posed to me when you say, what is it that men can do? Because in some cultures, especially during Women's Month, men are portrayed as a problem. Yes, we are a problem, but we could also be part of the solution. So to answer you, there are many things that we can do. I mean, before I answer you, I want to start by acknowledging all men that are doing so much to advance women's rights. You know, there are men that have been named defending women. There are men that passed on defending women. This one, I don't want to mention names, but you know, recently, a few years ago, one of the famous actors passed on defending women. So we can start by physically defending women. When people, you know, go out there and abuse women, we should stop them. But we could also create opportunities. You know, somebody asked me a question, yeah, you know, you are the next vice chancellor of UJ, you are a man. UJ has never had a female vice chancellor. You should accept this one out so that a woman can become a vice chancellor. And the person made a valid point, but sticking it out is not a solution. But now that I'm the vice chancellor, I've got the role, the responsibility of politics to provide opportunities and ensure that the more women are empowered, that women can stand up there and contest these roles and fill them up. I've got responsibility as a man to ensure that I ensure representativity and so on. And if you look at our NEC, for example, there are more women than men. So as men, we can advance our women and women's interests whenever and wherever we can.
I definitely agree with that. And I, for one, am glad you did not sit this one out.
Yeah.
It is half past 7. We will be getting into your headlines and sports shortly. On the other side, though, we are taking your questions. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask our Vice Chancellor? Please do send it through at 081-725-5228. Alternatively, you can send it at UJFM on Facebook or Twitter using the hashtag UJFMBreakfast. For now, let's catch you current affairs. I'm going to go to the next one. Johannesburg can expect a sunny day with temperatures expected to reach a high of 20 and a low of 5. And Victoria can expect similarly sunny conditions with temperatures expected to reach a high of 23 and a low of 8. New stories making headlines. Cape Town Mayor welcomes court ruling in which the city defends the impounding of taxis, and the UJ's Vice Chancellor and Principal invites students and staff to the high tea with the VC. And new traffic in Edenvale, there is a fast fire affecting visibility on the R24 near Barbara Road, and in Midland, there is an accident on the M1 south after Oliphant's Fontaine Road. Expect delays from the Sam Rand Avenue. If there's anything that I missed, please hit us up on 081-725-5238 or alternatively reach out to us on Twitter at UJFM. And stay tuned for more news stories at the top of the hour for UJFM News. I am at Top of 5.1 UC.
Manchester City begin the defence of their Premier League title away to newly promoted Burnley on Friday. As Pep Guardiola's men look forward to hold off an ambitious group of challengers to their crown as English champions. Arsenal and Manchester United have spent big trying to end their long wait for a league title, while Liverpool and Chelsea are expected to bounce back from last season's disappointment. But another transfer window of major investment by English clubs has been overshadowed by the lavish sums luring even some of the Premier League's best talent to Saudi Arabia. In tennis, former world number ones Karolina Pliskova and Victoria Azarenka advanced after rain delays on Monday's first day of the WTA Montreal Open Hardcourt Tournament. Czech standout Pliskova beat challenger Drew Lemmer to book a second round berth against current number one Iga Świątek of Poland, during US and French Open champion. Pliskova, the runner-up at Montreal in 2021, needed 2 hours and 22 minutes to eliminate teams 6-3, 6-7, 8-10 and 6-2. Finally, in rugby, Argentina coach Michael Schäfer on Monday announced his squad for the Rugby World Cup in France, cutting experienced wingers Santiago Cordero and Bautista Delgado. Schäfer opted for a team made up of 18 forward and 15 backs, with hooker Julian Montoya as captain. The Australian included fullback Martin Borgado, who made his debut last week Saturday against South Africa, and winger Rodrigo Isco from Argentina's 7th setup. Schäfer said the decision to omit 29-year-old Cordero was very difficult, but he decided to go with 4 centres instead. That's all I have on the sports desk for now. You can catch more headlines at 8 o'clock. Free get in sports, see Zone Charlie.
On UJFM, this one is titled Lady Soul, and you know our Vice Chancellor, then you know that this to him is a hit, but the older version of this, but you know what we mean anyway. 20 minutes left before we get into 8 o'clock, and if you have any questions, we could ask you to send those through to 081-725-5228, and we will be playing those in a minute. So, Professor, you are going to a technology, business, and society seminar, I think, which is coming up. What is that about? What is that about? I know that it's got to do with ethics, and the Vice Chancellor of Ghana, CCU, will be there. But what is it really about?
Many of you might have seen on our social media platforms, UJ will be in Accra, Ghana, at the end of August, where we'll be launching the UJ Ghana Alumni Affinity Group. And I was invited, to go and give a public lecture at the Ghana Communications and Technology University on ethics and regulation in an AI era, reflections on present and present realities and future expectations. So that is what I'll be talking about. Many of you know, look, I'm a lawyer by training. I can't make robots dance, but I'm concerned about how these robots behave, how we regulate them. So it's about ethical considerations, it's about legal frameworks, and we are not moving at the pace that, you know, we should be moving at, you know, as a country and as a continent, and that is what I'll be talking about, you know. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it will be a public lecture.
That's really, really interesting. If you are available on the day, please do tune in, I believe it's on Zoom.
That's right, yeah.
So, Prof, these, Professor, these are the questions we have, which were sent through by our students. Let's have a listen, and maybe you can enlighten us and answer some of them.
Good day, Professor. So my main question would be, between the APK campus and the others at large, looking at APK as well as Bloemfontein, there is like a huge difference in between not only the design but also how the faculties are treated, and I feel like there isn't enough. Take for example our student center. It's a very dull place, and it's not rather enjoyable, but we look forward to making it the same as these other campuses, because I feel like UJ should read as one and not separate campuses.
Okay, that one says APK, APB, the student centers are so different.
Look, UJ has a policy of parity or equality of campuses. No campus should be above another. But we must acknowledge that each campus should and will have its own identity. It doesn't mean that if APK has got this style of student center, then the same similar, you know, building should be erected at another campus. I was curious to understand how dull this is, you know, because it's the people that make the place vibrant. But if there are specific detailed issues, for example, you know, that you feel could be improved or need to be done, so to feel that you are on the same level as APK, we'll be happy to receive your inputs, and if you could email them to the campus director and so on, and then they could be shared, and then we will definitely look into that. But definitely the vibe will never be the same, you know. Auckland Park is Auckland Park. Soweto is Soweto. DFC is DFC.
Indeed. Yeah. And as you said, it's the people who bring the vibe.
And you know, there was no student center on APB at some point.
Wow.
Yeah. As far as I can recall.
Okay.
But anyway.
Here's another one.
Petros, this is Serena Adams from the Faculty of Design and Architecture. The question I have for you is, why don't we have a swimming pool in our faculty or our campus? Because the main campus does have like the swimming pool, and then those attending APK can also participate in those sports. However, I said APB can't attend those sports because you don't have like access to your pool.
So yep, that's just about the pool.
Look, if there's a swimming pool at APK, it's a swimming pool for everyone. You know, it's got intercampus buses. For now, you know, that I would encourage people to use these services and go and enjoy the swimming pool, you know. I didn't know that we have a swimming pool. That is something to look at. As and when resources become available, definitely we should look at having a swimming pool here or at all the campuses so that students can enjoy. But remember, it's a matter of availability of resources. Mm-hmm. But nothing prevents UJ students from, you know, taking the inter-campus service, bus service to go and enjoy these facilities. But thanks for that, Sue. It's food for thought.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So here's my last one to you, Prof.
Yeah.
I know we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask, since August is Women's Month and September is Heritage Month, are there any events or initiatives UJ has planned to celebrate both these things?
Good question. For Women's Month, yes, definitely. Today we are going to have two big events. One is a book discussion of Dearest Mariki. Remember, it's a book written by the late Ricky's mom. It will be on the APK campus, and after that, there will be a Helen Joseph lecture. Mm-hmm. Our Chancellor, Dr. Kunzlem Lambulinuka, is going to give the keynote address. On the 10th, you know, we are going to host a men's forum where we'll be celebrating Women's Month as men. So there's a lot that is coming. And in terms of Heritage Month, I'll say watch this space.
indeed.
Yeah.
And on that note, we wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming through, Prof, and taking the time.
Yeah.
And thank you for your questions. Thank you for sending those through. It is exactly 46 minutes after 7. We are getting back into the music. When we come back on the other side, we will be getting into, whose line is it? Here's Fat Cook and Mahuta. I'm going to go to the next one.